We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Me to introduce myself.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
Well, y'all done came a long way.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does, and y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
This platform, the reach y'all have that you've earned, makes space for somebody like me.
You guys have a direct line to the culture.
Oh my God, I'm on the radio with Angela, Charlamagne, and DJ Envy.
Damn. Yes, you are.
Hey. All I do is read about the Breakfast Club.
Really?
Every morning,
that's good.
You guys are trending. Every, you know, I drag my ass out of bed. I'm like, what happened on the Breakfast Club today?
Get your ass up. Good morning, USA.
Yo, 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 yo,
good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday. We made it to the weekend.
Yes, we made it. The weekend is here. How y'all feeling?
Oh, blessed, black, and highly favored as always. A little tight, you know what I mean? But nothing a little scratching can't solve.
Mm-hmm.
How y'all feel?
I feel great, man. The weekend is here. It's Friday, damn it. I needed this weekend, man. I needed this. I need a little rest.
Yeah,
I need
you guys
a couple
have
of
been
naps.
Doing this book tour like crazy.
Yeah, we've been everywhere. I mean, we've been doing every interview, every book signing. We just, you don't get a chance to really touch and see the people. But now that pandemic is back open, we are out and about. We are talking to people. We are breaking down this book. We are doing interviews. So we are everywhere.
And I told you that's the best
Saturday
part.
This Saturday I'm going to be in L.A. Yeah, no, it is.
That's the best part. That's the best part of releasing a book, being able to go out there, go to these bookstores, do these book signings, and be up close and personal with the people. It's the best feeling.
Yeah, because some people relate, so they have questions, or some people don't relate and they have questions. But a lot of people are talking because in relationships, they kind of been like how I've been in relationships, whether it was insecure or have cheated or, you know, and they're looking for the same thing. They're looking to evolve. They're looking to change. They're looking for forgiveness. They're looking for grace. So the book for them is really, really helping them out. And, you know, I'm just so grateful people are accepting this book well. So thank you so much again to everybody out there.
What's funny is, you know, and this I doubt this will be the last day that we talk about it. We'll probably be talking about this for the rest of our lives just because it's so entertaining. Mm-hmm. But there's such a lack of context to the you not being able to make your wife orgasm conversation. Like, people think that's happening now. So they don't realize that y'all was young. Like, really, 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 really young. You know, it's a lot that goes into it. They don't realize that was your wife's first time. Like, you got to read the book. That's why you got to read the book. It's a lot of details. Yeah,
but you also got to understand, that's what blogs do. They put they want to catch you. Like, they want to bring you in. And that's what did Shade Room, you know, posted a little bit of the interview so people would come in. And people that are reading the book understand. And they're like, oh, I get it. I understand now. And people that don't want to and just want to read the headlines and not. And I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. I didn't do it for that. I did it to really explain and hopefully start having these conversations, which people are, you know. So that was the main goal. Real Life, Real Love is in stores right now. You can order it on Amazon, pick it up at your local bookstores. But I appreciate you guys' support, man. You guys have really been supporting me, joking me at times. But, you know, I really appreciate you guys' support.
Why would I not joke you? Oh, I mean, my bad. I mean, why would I not support you?
I thought
you
he was going to say, why would I not support you? That's what I thought you was going to say. Why would I not support you? This guy. Why would I not joke on you?
You think I would miss the opportunity to get this off? Man, I was out yesterday, man. This old man was with his family. You know, his whole family came over to talk to me. And this dude said, hey, Charlamagne, now, you and that guy better stop acting gay on that radio now. See, y'all keep playing gay. Somebody gonna jump in that game with y'all and they ain't gonna be playing.
Was that a threat? Or was that a problem? Which one was it? Was that a threat? Was he threatening us?
Man, I laughed so hard, man. I laughed so hard I didn't even get the brother's name. I that was so funny to me because he just was so concerned. He said, I just heard y'all. I just heard y'all. We just turned the radio off. Y'all keep playing gay and see what happened now.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, man.
You might need to call the police on that one.
You know how they say you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
You I don't play want those stupid gay prizes.
Games, you can get prizes.
I don't That's want those stupid prizes. All right. Let's get the show cracking. Pusha T will be joining us this morning. Pusha T, of course, his album is out today, so we're going to be kicking it with Pusha.
What we playing from Pusha this morning? It's Almost Dry is out today, man. I think it's Pusha T's best body of work. Definitely going to be in the rap album of the year conversation. Category. What we playing from Pusha T this morning? I want the Donny Hathaway record. That's been my favorite record. Huh?
I was telling Red, you could pull up something for Pusha T while he's talking.
Get the Dreaming of the Past, man. That's been my favorite record for a couple of months now.
Yes. And also, Yamanika Saunders will be joining us. Comedian. She's performing this weekend at Caroline's.
Okay, Yamanika.
She's been in so many different spots in movies and films.
She's in Life and Beth right now, which is the new Amy Schumer Hulu series. She plays her best friend.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, let's take it to Florida first. A bride and a caterer have been charged, and that is for serving food that had cannabis in it to guests at a wedding.
Okay. All right. And they're saying next hour we'll start it off with Pusha T. All right. So let's get the show cracking. Front page news is next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get into some front page news. Now, the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves last night, 104-95. The Mavericks beat the Jazz, 126-118. And the Warriors win a series, leading at the series 3-0. They beat the Nuggets, 118-113.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a sweep. That Grizzlies-Timberwolves game was amazing. Grizzlies came back from 26 down.
25 down, yep.
25 down to win that game. Like, that was a great, great game. Two cocky-ass young teams balling.
I love it. What else you got, Easy?
All right, a bride and caterer are being charged with tampering and other charges, and that's because they served food containing cannabis to unsuspecting guests at a wedding in February. Now, according to reports, some people felt so ill they had to go to the hospital, and that's where they tested positive for THC. That's a psychoactive compound that's in marijuana. They said they felt heavily drugged. They had not been warned. And one guest said the next day, and she told an investigator that on the day of the wedding, she felt stoned and asked the bride whether cannabis was in the food, and she said yes and smiled. They did collect some food at the scene, and that later tested positive for THC.
Yeah, that's just not something you decide to do on your own. Like you have to, like no, you have to ask the party if this is what they want. Do they want cannabis infused food? Lord have mercy.
All right, and a federal judge has temporarily blocked a new Republican-backed law in Kentucky, and that would have led the state's two remaining abortion clinics to halt their procedures. And the decision was a victory for abortion rights advocates, but it's a setback for Republican-led legislature. It's only the first step, though. They had passed this law in March, and it had banned abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy and required women to be examined by a doctor before receiving abortion pills. But it also contained new restrictions and reporting requirements that Kentucky clinics said they could not immediately comply with, and noncompliance will result in stiff fines, felony penalties, and they'll also revoke your physician and facility licenses. So... here is the CEO for Planned Parenthood in Kentucky, Rebecca Gibron.
None of us were able to provide care today, and we still have not received any emergency relief from the courts. So it looks like tomorrow will be another day without abortion care in the Commonwealth.
What would it take for you to be able to reopen?
There are so many barriers to reopening from this omnibus anti-abortion package. The state doesn't even have forms or protocols in place so that we can comply. This is going to be a months-long process, I think, before we can even see how, on paper, for the state, we would be able to comply to these brand new bills.
People, do y'all know the Supreme Court is expected to issue a ruling this June on abortion, and the Supreme Court's conservative majority is expected to end women's constitutional right to abortion? Do folks realize what that means?
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, it's quite possible that abortion rights as we've known them in America for damn near half a century will no longer exist 2 months from now. Do people realize that? Are we too busy focusing on what's on Shade Room and every baller alert and stuff like that?
We've been seeing this happen state by state, and we know that this is an issue that has been taken up, and people have been fighting for us to have a right to choose. And you know who this affects the most in different states. Like, women in Kentucky just now were forced to either travel out of state in order to end their pregnancies, or they had to wait for a judge's decision. And most of the women who are affected by this are either younger people or people without the financial means to be able to travel and pay for all of those services.
No doubt. It's happening state by state, but The Supreme Court's conservative majority is expected to end women's constitutional right to abortion this June. Do we know what year that takes us back to? Like, Roe versus Wade as we know it could be overturned in a couple of months?
1973.
Like, I don't know. Maybe folks aren't paying attention. I don't know.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. Again, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Go, wake up,
wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
What's going down, man? This is DC from Columbus.
DC from Columbus, what's happening?
Get it off your chest, DC.
Man. Hey, so check dig, man. I wanna give him a shout out to DJ Envy, bro. I've been heavily listening to Drink Champ, shout out to N.O., you know, and I was listening to specifically this Miss Jones podcast, and I just gotta say, bro, everybody should have a friend like DJ Envy. If you was kind of iffy and you didn't really know if you kind of like DJ Envy or not, that episode right there is gonna solidify him. Like, I got a friend like DJ Envy. His name is Johnny Evans. Shout out Johnny. That's my name. He just helped me with my taxes. And oh my God, it's the most I've ever got. But anyway, you know what I mean? So it's just, and then they even shout out y'all, Charlamagne too, and Angela Yee. Y'all, I mean, I love Drink Champs for real. And I love
Drink Champs too. Salute to NO and DJ EFN.
Man, yes. Listen, I want to work for that some kind of way. You know, NO, find me on IG. Dolezy _THA_trucker. I can't change my name because it's been for years. You know, I can't change it, but if I could, I would. But find me for real.
That's what it is. Shout out to Nori. Me and the wife are actually going to do a Drink Champs. We're doing a couple's Drink Champs. So it's going to be me and my wife and Nori and his wife. So that's happening in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I think we should all have a friend that we could fall back on if something happens or can count on if they're at their lowest. That's what we want to be, right? When we talk about friendship, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Salute to my guy, Nori, man. Make sure you listen and subscribe to the Drink Champs podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network. N.O.
And shout out to Nori's wife, Neri, too. She's amazing. Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Peace Queen. How are you?
You're supposed to say it back how she said it. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Kiki from Charlotte.
Hi, Kiki from the 704.
Yes. Yee, how you doing, Ma?
I'm good, Ma. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, Envy, I love you, and I love you, Miss Gia, too. But we got the bone to pick this morning.
Let's talk bones.
I had to do a tribute with you on Instagram about 3 weeks ago, and I want me my book. And I was in the DMs with your manager. She got my info, but now she done disappeared. Your book done launched. And I'm like, where my book at? And you got all these
No. Boxes. All the books go out on Monday. We've been on tour, so all the books go out on Monday because there's a lot of people that want books that day, but they all go out on Monday. She apologized. That's Mercedes. That's my assistant. She's been on the road. She's on the road with me.
Well, do I get that pretty little box you're sending to the celebrities, or it's going to be the book?
Yes, ma'am. You're getting that pretty little box with the Walkman and the mixtape. Yes, you are. You're getting a pretty little box.
How come we didn't get that? We didn't even get that.
Well, my birthday's next Friday, and I follow you guys. I love you guys. I listen to your podcast. I listen to Breakfast Club every morning. I just love y'all.
No, thank you, Kiki.
All right. We love you, too. We love your energy on a Friday.
Kiki, we appreciate you kicking in with us.
Off. My birthday's next Friday. We're going to turn up. It's tourist season. I hope you all have a great, lovely weekend, and shout out to all the listeners. Love, light, black, and highly favored. Ew.
There you go.
Ew.
Them hard-headed ass Tauruses.
Have you been sending out your pretty little box to people, and you didn't send us one?
Charlamagne has my box before. I got to get you a boxy.
What box you talking about now? The one that stinks and winks?
800-585-1051.
You better stop. You and that guy better stop acting gay on that radio now. Man, I wish I had that as a drop, man. That guy was so funny.
Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Lenny. I'm from Detroit, but I live in Kentucky.
What up, Doe?
Peace, King. What's happening?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Angela? What's up, Charlie?
What up?
What's up,
man?
How you?
How y'all doing today? I'm
blessed, black, and highly favored, brother.
Man. I feel blessed. I was just calling, man. I got a wife and three beautiful kids. I'm 27 years old. I purchased my first home last year. I built it from the ground up.
Yay.
I was calling to say that. Congrats. I was calling to say that I feel like women should be able to see what happened to their bodies, no matter what, because that's their body. Nobody should be able
Thank
to tell
you.
A woman what she can or can't do with her body. I am pro-choice, because if you don't feel like you're in a predicament to raise a child, you shouldn't have to make that. I mean, somebody shouldn't have to make that choice for you.
Well, the Supreme Court is
I
set
agree
to
with
take,
you 100%.
The Supreme Court is expected to take that choice away in June. They're expected to end women's constitutional right to abortion.
Well, thank you for calling, brother. Hello, who's this?
Yes, good morning. This is Sonny Holloway, also known as Sonny Holloway Fitness. How you doing?
Peace, Sonny.
What's up, brother?
Peace, King. Peace, King.
Get it off your chest, bro.
It's a lot of things, you know, I do for my community, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm highly underpaid. I feel as though I have two jobs. You know, I do armed security and also I'm at University Hospital. My other job that I do armed security at the airport, no, internationally. Sweet. Very mm-hmm. sweet. You know, I'm also, you know, fitness coach. So, you know, the muscle is dead. So, mentally, I feel like that the hospital should be much better, much ran better. You know, I feel as though that the love language there at University Hospital is not there. My team, we put in work, you know, and I hope my boss hear this, okay? We put in work, right? And sometimes we don't even get a pat on our back how much work we put in overnight. So, you know, my stress is with my manager. And he needs to start recognizing the ones that really put in work. We make sure that all the patients are good. We give them that emotional healing, okay? But he doesn't notice us. And I feel some type of way because I'm an Army vet. And I want him to put some respect on my name.
Word. Well, King, listen, have you had this conversation at work? Have you and, you know, your fellow employees come together to express this to him at work? Like in a, I don't know, a formal email or a letter or something?
Yeah, before you do it on air.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, just making sure.
Look, I could care less, you know, how he feels. You know, but personally, I feel as though, you know, the work that we put in, we need to be recognized for it. You know, I feel like, you know,
right.
don't become petty to the point where, as though, you know, you're pointing out little small things, okay?
Now, but Sonny, are you cool with it just being on air and your boss possibly hearing it and they possibly letting you go? Are you cool with that?
He said he wants him to hear.
Absolutely.
I know that, but are you
Absolutely.
Cool with possibly
because,
being
because
fired?
I'm not disrespecting the man at all. And at the end of the day or whatever, you know, my second job pays way more. And I feel
That's
as though,
is,
you know, by being underpaid, you know, I feel as though that we deserve $35 an hour, you know, not 19.
Put some respect on Sonny's name. I agree.
All right, my brother. I respect it.
Good luck, man. All right. And, you know, put some respect on his name. You know, today is the 6-year anniversary of Birdman coming to the Breakfast Club and saying on tree, y'all, and put some respect on his damn name.
Yes, it is, which means yesterday was the 6-year anniversary of Prince passing away. So, yes, because Prince passed away the same day that Birdman came to the Breakfast Club, but we aired Birdman the next day. So, mm-hmm. yes.
Wow. All right. Well, get it off your chest. Excuse me. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, and another person who deserves some respect on his name is Mike Tyson. Imagine harassing Mike Tyson on a flight. Is that a smart thing to do?
No. No, not on a flight, not on a bus, not on a train, not in the street, not in a club, not in heaven, not even in hell. You better leave that man alone. But we'll talk about it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's Friday, baby. What are we doing?
Rumors.
Oh,
I don't know where Envy is.
Oh, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne the God, Angela Yee. I was waiting on Envy. I thought Envy was sitting there.
Me too.
It's time for Rumor Report. Let's talk Mike Tyson.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, guys.
All right.
What were we teasing?
Well, this went viral. Mike Tyson on a plane. This was Wednesday night. He was going from San Francisco to Florida. And a witness on the plane says as he and his friend were boarding that flight, initially Mike Tyson was cool with them with all of the passengers on the flight. According to the witness, they said Mike Tyson took a selfie with him and then was patient with his friend who was overly excited and kept trying to talk to him as he sat beside him, behind him. But eventually, Mike Tyson had enough of the guy behind him talking in his ear and was like, yo, chill. When that guy did not chill, that's when the witness says Mike Tyson started to throw several punches at the man's face. Listen to this.
Hey, Mike, come on. Let's go stop
back. No.
That's
not the beginning.
Hey, me? No, that's not the beginning. The guy was sitting there, you know, antagonizing Mike, and I don't see nothing wrong with it.
All I saw was Mike Tyson helping a man get some sleep. It was a red-eye flight. Dude clearly needed some rest, but for some reason he was having a little trouble dozing off, and Mike helped him sleep. That's all I saw.
That's what I see.
Now, according to sources, Mike Tyson is saying the man was extremely intoxicated, would not stop provoking him. And also, Mike Tyson's rep says the man also threw a water bottle at him before all of this happened. So his rep said, unfortunately, Mr. Tyson had an incident on a flight with an aggressive passenger who began harassing him and threw a water bottle while he was in his seat.
Do you know how zen-like... All right, so... Oh, go ahead. What are you saying?
And I will talk about the passenger now, and here's what he had to say.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro, Mike Tyson.
My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as
f***. He should have never gave you his money.
JetBlue, Met flight. My boy just got beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way. Yeah, he got f***ed up. Just trying to ask for an autograph, man. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that was the guy's friend.
I know what happened.
Yeah, so the whole time he's narrating his friend aggravating and not respecting Mike Tyson's boundaries.
Correct. But, then he's showing his face flight, though?
After.
Because, you know, you just got beat up. Are you Tyson? You can sit back in your sleep and go to sleep after this guy sitting behind you?
Yes. Yes, you can if you're Mike Tyson. Do you know how zen-like Mike Tyson is? Do you know the work that man has done to heal and control his rage? And I see folks saying that Mike lost his cool. No, that was Mike administering discipline to someone who needed it, okay? Every single one of those punches came from a pure place, and hopefully that man who has been identified as George will learn to respect people's boundaries. Leave people the hell alone.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Tyson, by the way, after the flight landed, authorities were contacted. Cops said that there were minimal details of the incident and the guys refused to cooperate further with the police investigation. And they are aware of the video of the altercation. But Mike Tyson is going to be speaking at a cannabis event. So he's still doing his business.
Dropping a clues bombs for Mike Tyson, man. Absolutely. My cancer brother just on his flight, minding his business. You know what I mean? Dude clearly, you know, needed some help. Resting, and Mike gave him some help going to sleep. That's all.
All right. And Pusha T has been sentenced to 5 years and 3 months behind bars. And he previously pled guilty to conspiracy to possess firearms charges in January as part of the plea deal. Prosecution agreed to recommend a maximum sentence of 8 years behind bars. So at least not 8 years. And so he did thank everybody for their support. And he fired off a message saying, "The biggest, I just want to thank all my loved ones, supporters and fans for holding me down during these hard times. I wish I could be coming home to y'all today, but this could have been way worse. I will be back sooner than y'all think. But meantime, new music dropping next week."
Yeah, and Pooh is young. And, you know, he already did like, a year. So he'll probably get time served. So he'll probably end up doing like 4 out of 5. And
so that's maybe, there's no more charges, though, right? That's the last charge. So there's no more charges against him, correct?
I don't think so.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay. He should be home around, 25, 26 years old?
Yep.
Yeah, they say he could be released after 3.5 more years with good behavior.
Okay.
Good.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Reports.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Yes, let's take it back to Florida again. And the Florida House has passed bills that would split up black voters and also eliminate Disney's district. Now they're heading to the governor's desk for his signature.
All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. Make the switch to the General Insurance, and you could save over $500 on your car insurance. Imagine what you could do with that money, right? Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply.
Man. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. Let's get in some front page news. All right, now last night, the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves 104-95. The Mavericks beat the Jazz 126-118. And the Warriors lead the series 3-0. They beat the Nuggets 118-113.
Yeah, man, that Timberwolves-Grizzly game was awesome. They came down from 26 points. The Grizzlies did to win that game. Now they up 2-1 in the series.
That's right. All right, what else we got, Yeezy?
All right, well, let's talk about Florida. Their Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted during a special session yesterday. They're going to send two highly controversial bills. One of them greenlights Governor Ron DeSantis' plan to redraw the 28 districts in the state into a Republican-friendly configuration that would split up black voters, and another that would also eliminate Walt Disney World's special district. They're sending those to the governor's desk for signature. So according to the map that the governor is doing, if it survives expected legal challenges, it would wipe out any gains by Democrats made during the national redistricting process. It would add four Republican-leaning seats and also eliminate three highly competitive seats from the previous map. That would leave the state with 18 Republican-leaning and 8 Democrat-leaning seats. And that would also split up black voters by slashing the number of black majority districts in half from 4 to 2.
Everything is under attack on a local and federal level. Voting rights, abortion rights, no need to even get into conversations about police reform anymore. Those are dead. All activists are doing their job on the ground, pushing the line on all these issues. But our elected officials we voted for to protect our rights are not holding up their end of the bargain.
Now, that measure would also eliminate Walt Disney World status that was put forward by Republicans after Disney vowed to help repeal the highly controversial parental rights and education law. That's the Don't Say Gay bill, which would limit the teaching of gender identity and sexual orientation in classrooms. So what that would do is Walt Disney World would not operate as its own municipality anymore. So those are two things that are being sent.
I don't even know what that means.
Special session.
Yeah, me neither.
What did that mean?
So basically, Walt Disney World, if you go to Orlando, they have their whole own, they govern themselves pretty. They have a special legal status. They operate as an independent government around the theme parks.
Whoa, it's so really a kingdom?
Wow.
It's really the Magic Kingdom? I didn't know that.
So they also... Yeah, they also haven't been able to explain what exactly that would mean. Republicans haven't really thought that part through yet. But, you know, they said that Florida needed Disney more than Disney needed Florida at the time. So that's why they agreed to do that, because they wanted to bring the theme parks into Florida. So in exchange for them bringing it there and making that the home base for Disney World and all of the millions of tourists, they're allowed to operate on their own, because if they had to operate within the system, you know, I guess things wouldn't get done the way they needed to get done. So that was back in May of 1967 that they were given control of the land in and around the theme parks.
So, Angela, are you telling us that Disney World has their own set of rules? Like, if the Magic Kingdom wanted to make marijuana legal, you could smoke there if you wanted to? Like, I'm trying to figure this out.
They could have their own money.
Really? I never knew that. This is new to me.
I think it's more of a point of being able to do what they need to do with their land without having to go and get approval for everything. It was more about that.
I'm confused.
You know what I'm saying? So to have control of the Disney land Bucks around the theme park. So that,
that's crazy.
Well, they probably do police. Pretty much have that.
Have what?
But that has to do with... They basically have responsibility for all of their services like power, water, roads, fire protection. And then they don't have to deal with the legal red tape or pay. They don't have to pay taxes for services that benefit the broader public. So they basically taxes and everything in there operate on their own. But on the flip side, now people that live in Florida might have to end up paying for taxes for things for the park. So you might have to pay more in taxes.
I thought Florida didn't have
state tax.
They just
haven't been able to.
I thought they didn't have a state income tax. Yeah, Florida doesn't have a state income tax.
That's income tax, but you still have to pay for municipal services.
Oh, okay.
So it's two different things. So that's what they're trying to do. And Tennessee has passed a bill that would require drunk drivers to pay child support if you cause the death of a parent. So if somebody gets convicted of vehicular homicide because they were intoxicated, you would have to pay child support if you kill that parent, a person's parent. I don't think that's a bad law. What do you think?
I don't think that's law at all. I think that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I think that makes absolute perfect sense. And that right there will, you know, make people really think before they drink and drive, even though you should be really thinking before you drink and drive now. Like, that's what, you know, you have all these ride share companies for. But absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, if you kill somebody's parent, then who's taking care of the child? So, yes, you pay that child support moving forward.
I think if you kill somebody's child, you should have to pay some type of grief support to the parent. Like, you know what I mean? Because the parent's going to have to go to therapy. The parent's going to need grief counseling. The parent's going to have emotional distress. Like, yeah, you should have to pay the parent, too. I think it should go both ways. Yes. I love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, Pusha T will be joining us. His album is out today. And we're going to talk to Push when we come back. We're going to play some joints off the album as well. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. King Push, Pusha T.
What's up?
Album is out right now. It's almost dry.
Yes.
Man, a lot to talk about.
I got so much activity around you right now.
It is. Let's get into it.
Well, first, how does it feel to have your album out right now?
Man, I feel very competitive. Mm-hmm. Feel very competitive. It feels really good just to be back in the mix, mm-hmm. in the music mix. You know, I spent the whole pandemic creating this album, mm-hmm. and I felt like I had like time, and I had time with like, you know, whether it be Pharrell or with Ye, I had like actual time to like sit and cook with them, mm-hmm. with no, you know, with just like no pressure.
Who challenges you more when it comes to your lyrics and discussing like different songs? Is it Kanye or Pharrell?
By far Pharrell.
I know it's Pharrell.
By far Pharrell, man. It's like Kanye is basically, he just likes like Pusha T raps. Mm-hmm. He just wants like 1,000 bars and just like give it to him. And he Correct. Wants to shape that into what he wants to shape it to, edit it how he wants to edit it. Pharrell is like, you know, he all musical, mm-hmm. and like, he wants you to like make the melody, the verse, the you know, the cadence. He wants all of this to like sort of coincide, the formula, the bridge, the mm-hmm. B chords.
What process works better for you, you think?
Oh no, I think they both work really well, and I think people are gonna see that on It's Almost Dry. Pharrell's is tougher. Mm-hmm. Pharrell's is a tougher process for
Do
sure.
Do y'all ever get mad at each other?
What?
Yeah, they argue all the
oh
time.
Oh my God. The arguments is crazy. The frustration be crazy. It's a very tedious process.
Guy.
Yeah. Like it's a thing. And he's like a very stubborn guy in the studio. So he's like, he hammers away at an idea and I be over it. And then I'll finally like find something that I actually like in what he's doing. And then he'll be like, oh, okay, you like that? So then he strips away everything I don't like. And then he starts from there. But you got to go through that process to get mm-hmm. the magic.
Now, Hove, you got Hove a couple verses. Some artists yes. only get Hove one time.
I know.
Some artists never get Hove.
Hove know what's up, man.
What's your relationship with Hove? And how do you continue to get Hove on your records?
You know, I think me and Hove got a very, we got a good relationship. I think he's very respectful musically. I think he understands that when I call him, I'm not just asking him for anything. I'm asking him for something that I think is going to be something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's going to benefit both of us in a creative sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I send him the record. I send him my record. I send it to him with the hook on it, with the verse on it. And just see what he think. If he like it, then he'd be like, man, what you want me to do with this? I'd be like, man, just outdo me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because I only reach out to him when I feel like it's something else that I can't say on a record, mm-hmm. but I feel like the record needs to like step up to another level.
Now, how do you decide what record you're going to put on the album from Kanye and Pharrell? Because they're both very creative. I mean, both yeah. very competitive, right?
Yeah.
You know, Pharrell is competitive. Ye is competitive. So yeah. how do you decide what songs make it and what songs don't?
You know, in working with them this time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a 12-song album. And 6 from you and 6 from you. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of kept it in that 12 box and took the best 6 from each of them.
So that way there's no problems, no feelings.
Oh, no. And it was good. It was, I mean, me personally, like what I was personally doing was like having like my own versus battle between both of them. Cause I would like go to Miami, I work with Pharrell. I take that to LA, be like, oh, look what me and P did. He'd be like, what? All right, hold on.
Gotcha.
You know, it was like a big back and forth.
Now, did you see the interview we did with Coi Leray?
Yeah.
Of the conversation. Yeah. What were your thoughts about
man,
that?
Man, I love that girl, man. Yeah, yeah, I like her. I like her. Like she's just real like charismatic and I actually like her songs.
It's funny that your name just kept coming.
I know. I was like, yo, what I do?
You were like the bar.
Your record with Hov. So
oh, okay.
We've been playing it every hour, so we were excited about it. And she was like, why are y'all so excited about this? And I'm here. We was like, because this is our era. This is what we listen
okay,
to.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And that's where it came from.
All right. Nah, man. It was, you know, I seen it, but yeah, I like her, man. I like her. She's a firecracker.
You know, because I look at music, no matter what age somebody is, if I like a song, I like a song.
Yep.
Right. Do you find it that with the younger artists, it's not as relatable? Because I've heard people say that, too. Like, I can't understand this. It's not for me. And that's kind of what that conversation was about.
I feel like, you know, for me, man, rap, you got to be, like, culturally out here. It ain't just about lyrics, bars, so on and so forth. You got to, like, you know, it's a whole culture. It's fashion. It's just the energy of knowing what's what and being in tune to what's what. And I feel like when you put that in your lyrics and when you put that in your raps, that's sort of relatable to everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe some, you know, maybe some of the younger kids don't take that time. But I feel like, you know, when they're passive listening or whatever, it hits everybody sooner mm-hmm. or later.
Now, I see your brother is on the album.
Yeah.
Now, you got him back in the studio. You got him back working. Well, first of all, how did you get him back in the studio?
Okay.
And two, does that mean that we're going to get a Clips album, maybe?
So, listen.
Possibly.
This is the play, hopefully. Right? This is the play. So, first, it started with the Nego album. Mm-hmm. That was an easy ask because it was like, I was like, man, it's Nego. You know, we sort of started this Bape thing with him and he putting out an album. Like, yo, we gotta do a song for
right,
the album.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. So then I came back to him. I was like, yo, it's the last record on my album. Like, I need you to, you know, give me a verse. And he was like, I mean, all right, man. Like, you know, I still get to pull, like, the little brother card, like, mm-hmm. just ask for things and expect to, like, get them. And, like, I get to, like, look at them like, I mean, yeah, I just asked for it. And you sort of got to do it. Mm-hmm. So he did it. He did the record. But he's definitely looking at me like sideways, like, yo, you think you're gonna keep asking me for these little features before
they,
you know what I'm saying?
They sounded good. They sounded good.
Those are Clips songs.
Those are Clips songs, yeah.
But so is his head in a good spot where maybe it is possible?
I feel like these last two offerings and I feel like the response is definitely. I talked to him this morning. He was like, I'm hearing what people saying, B. I'm hearing everybody's saying. But, you know, he not committing.
All right, we got more with Pusha T. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning, guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Pusha T. His album is out right now. Now, I was going to ask you, you know, you're big on loyalty, right?
Yeah.
You're big on crew.
Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit.
Okay.
Here we go.
So when Ye and Drake was beefing, and of right. course you jumped into the beef, right?
Right, right.
Then they squashed the beef.
Right, right.
Where does that leave you?
Oh, man, I'm still outside.
I'm outside.
How does that make you feel? That's your man beefing, and then they squash it. And now you still outside beefing.
I'm still outside. For me, I think that was really good for them. There's something weird with them two that, like, the coexisting of both of them together is just, like, really, I don't know, it's something that they just have to have. Me, personally, you know, I don't really stand anything to gain from, like, squashing anything or whatever. I mean, I'm not entertaining it, but there's nothing I want from the situation. Like, I don't want to do a record. I don't want to do none of that.
So where does that put you? So like when they do the show in LA or they together, do you say, you know what, I'm not going to come to the show?
Oh, definitely. Like he was like, yo, you got to come? I was like, nah.
That would be weird.
I think you should go to the show.
Have a good time.
You should be there.
Yeah, like you have a good time. I don't care to squash anything. It's nothing to talk about for me.
I feel like we've been through it.
We've been through it and that's just that. And ultimately, everything I'm doing right now is really purposeful, mm-hmm. like musically and mm-hmm. everything. Like I know who I want to deal with, who I want to work with. I know what this is and he just don't fall in those lines. So it doesn't, we don't have to do this.
If he says something about you, like people are saying the song that leaked with Jack Harlow, he's taking shots at you.
Everybody's acting irreplaceable. It's like they ain't disposable. My urges for revenge are uncontrollable. I know we're getting older though. Yeah, but I gotta get in looking back for that. It's non-negotiable. It's not even debatable.
Do you let it slide or do you respond?
Man, you know what? Like, I even heard that. And it like, it sounds old to me. Mm-hmm. Like the flows sound old. Like even what is considered like the shots is like, bro, after what I've done, like I, like the middleman talk and all that type of talk, that's not scathing for mm-hmm. me. Like I'm here to like burn down it's everything.
So it's more like a subliminal.
Yeah, it's like, and it's subliminal. It's like, bro, I'm not subliminal with nobody today. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing that.
So you ignore it or do
Yeah, I told, I don't. I mean, I honestly feel like, and from the sound of it, it just sounded old to me. Gotcha. Like, it's not like fresh.
Now, as a lyricist, do you always keep something in the chamber just in case?
Now, as a lyricist, I got a file of just fire, but whatever.
Now, is that for different artists as well?
That's for everything. That's for the world. That's a file cabinet full of death. For sure.
I was also going to ask, you know, I've seen it with you do it with Stephen Victor.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done it to me a couple of times. Sometimes when you feel like you can reach out and ask or put your hand on somebody if they're doing something wrong and speak to them, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had those conversations with Ye when sometimes Ye was not acting like himself?
You know, me and Kanye's relationship is real. It's a real honest one.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when he's like on whatever he's on,
mm-hmm.
like me and him disagree a lot. Even the other day he told me, he said, like we had a long conversation. He hit me back after. He said, yo, when I talk to you, I get to look outside of myself.
Mm.
And I think that's what I'm like. That's how I look at myself, like what I can bring to him. Because when it comes to like the inner circle, I'm the newest guy. But I feel like with that being the case, I speak with another level of just honesty and a whole nother just purpose and intent. Like, I, you know, he got his crew. We all crew. But, you know, I have a real team myself of 20 year people that are fully outside of him that, you know, when we ain't rocking, like I'm still busy over here too. Mm-hmm. So I think that allows for me to like really just, you know, him to understand that what I'm saying is coming from a real, like, yo, this is just how I see you. That like I'm on the outside looking in, and this is what I'm gonna tell you.
Do you think he respects your opinion more? Because sometimes when you have the closest people to you, they eat off of you.
Yeah.
So sometimes they might not be as honest as they should because they eat off you. Where you, it doesn't matter if Ye don't do a beat for you or nothing. You know, you can go wherever you need to go. You already established. Does he feel, you feel like maybe he looks at you different because of that?
I 1,000% know he understands that, like, I'm speaking from the purest place. Bro, I put out an album every 3 years, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, outside of music, what is it? What is the real, real game?
Right.
There's no ulterior motive. I think he understands that with me.
Now, you posted a picture of some release papers and everybody thought that you were released off of Def Jam and going independent.
Oh, right.
So that was, you said Kanye giving you back your master.
Or good music, really.
Yeah.
So that's, you fully have your own master.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, for sure. All the profits.
How did that happen? What was that conversation like? Did you ask him or did he just...
Or was it legal?
No, it was legal. It actually started from an argument.
Really?
Yeah. It was one of those times where Ye was, you know, going through what he was going through, and Remember all the text message stuff and all of that? And I was on the text message.
I was going to ask you, did that bother you?
Bro,
I'm just at home with my daughter.
Why are you in this? Who are all these people?
Right.
But in that argument, some things were said. And I was like, okay, well, if you feel like that, then this is how we need to finish that. So after the argument was over, I was like, oh, no, we still got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, this still got to stay. And it stayed. You know, man of his word.
How many times do you argue with Ye? How many arguments do you argue with?
Nah, we listen. We don't
ever have to move furniture one time. Like, you know, let's just move this furniture one time.
I can't see that.
Let's wrestle and we can be friends. Y'all ever had to do that one? Because you have a brother, I'm sure you did it with your brother.
Yeah.
You ever did it with Ye one time? Like, yeah, let's move this furniture.
Nah. It's never gotten that bad because I feel like the disagreements, it's not just like anybody just talking out of spite. It's like, yo, he really feel this way or I really feel that way. He understands that, like, this is my real stance. Like, even, I mean, if you just think even politically,
mm-hmm.
y'all know I was at the Obama joint. I was, you know, going for Hillary and all that. He going for Trump. But, you know, even in that, he understood I had a real agenda with what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with that agenda, it had to be what I wanted it to be. And, you know, Trump ended up winning. So that was, you know, for his agenda. But ultimately, he understood. It's not just me like going against him or me like going in the public or going on radio like down talking him for his stance. It's like, no, we got a difference of opinion, but this is why. And he, you know, he gets that.
Now, even with Kid Cudi being on your album, did he have a problem with that? Because he's not messing with Kid.
Man.
So was that a comment? What was that conversation?
It's almost like Kid Cudi's not messing with Ye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know,
they're messing with each other, seems like.
No. Cudi not messing with Ye.
Yeah, I think it's more of that.
Who produced that beat?
Yo, that's the only beat on the album that Pharrell and Kanye collaborated on.
Damn.
So the beat started with Ye, and he chopped the 1+1 sample with Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Beyonce. She cleared it.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Did she make you clean anything up before?
Nah, she okay. didn't actually. So then after that, Ye was like, yo, man, tell Pharrell to put his drums on it. He couldn't really find the drums that he felt for. Then Pharrell put the drums on it. I mean, I remember... It's so crazy because I remember the day so well. Like, the energy was so good in the studio. We was in, like, some art space. He had just built out this little art space. And I came over there. He started working on the record. And then Cudi just happened to pop through. He was happy. I hadn't seen Cudi in a while. We was just... This particular day was just really, really good. And Cudi gave, like, 3, 4, 5 different versions of what the hook should be or whatever the case may be. And just let us pick through them. And we just put it all together. So it's like, you know, now... Fast forward, Cudi like, man, I'm only doing this song for you.
Yeah.
You know, you my man, I can't stand him. I'm like, bruh, like, don't do this right now. Listen, I seen a video director last night who's supposed to shoot the video.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, man, you know, we was ready, you know, everything just blew up right before. But that's what happens. Like, that happens in the Kanye world. Like, everything could be going smooth and then just bah.
Right. Y'all were all supposed to go on tour together too, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
And Nas.
Listen, I don't know about the Nas piece, but Ye been talking about everybody going on the road this whole time.
Because
we usually make our albums simultaneously. So like, while he was doing his Donda thing, I was making this album too.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, of course, further along, it comes out, boom, then it's my turn, boom. And, you know, the whole play was like, after we do this, then we gonna go. You know, Cudi, he had joints in the chamber for Cudi, too. I don't know how it plays out.
All right, we got more with Pusha T when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. And the last couple of years, you had a lot of ups and downs. You had a baby. Congratulations on the baby.
That's an up.
Yeah.
Got married a couple of years ago. Congratulations on that. And also, your pops recently passed, so condolences.
Yeah.
So how has that all affected this album?
Oh, man. Both my parents passed away within the past 4 months.
Mm.
So it's made for a lot more focus.
I know you were happy your son got to see.
Yeah, for sure. That was like a really big thing to me. And just focusing on the family as well as keeping, you know, just keeping my head down and grinding with the music as well.
Does that keep you and your brother closer? A little more closer?
Oh yeah. I mean we already been close. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk every single morning. You know, I think for sure it has definitely brought me and my brother, I guess I would say, even more closer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having a baby during a pandemic, right?
Yes,
you're
was
used
crazy.
To being at home.
It was crazy.
All the time.
What?
And seeing your baby every day.
Bro.
But then you got to go on tour. So how hard is that going to be? You going to bring the baby with you? Or?
My son will be 2 in June.
Mm-hmm.
That whole time, you know, we weren't moving. That's the whole past 2 years, we haven't been moving until
now. And what a great
now.
Time to be home.
Yeah, yeah.
Way,
so that
too.
Was like really,
just
really good.
They purchased a new house. They just installed a pool.
It was really perfect timing for you.
It was
the crib chilling.
Yeah, no, chilling. You know, now it is that time. It's like, man, I'm looking at it and I'm like, damn, I gotta leave. I'm asking for my schedule every 5 minutes just to see what days I'm gonna be home, because you get to miss so much. Even now, like yesterday, my son singing Itsy Bitsy Spider. I didn't know he could do that.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, luckily, you know, we got the nanny, she videotaping everything. It's cool, it works.
I was gonna say, you started Fast Food Beef.
Yes, I did.
That was the first time I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's a real beef. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Like, you really have beef.
You know.
No pun intended.
Yeah. It's not a real
it's
beef.
It's real beef.
Yeah.
I never knew until the beef that
the
you
jingle
wrote.
Story.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. No, listen. That's what people. Yeah.
I didn't know you wrote that jingle.
Yeah. So that happened like super early in our career. We wrote raps for the I'm Loving It jingle today. And that's where the catchphrase I'm Loving It came from.
Mm-hmm.
So boom. That happened.
You must never eat McDonald's.
I'm not eating it.
I can never eat McDonald's. Like,
not even the fries
jingle,
when they're hot.
And
fries
everybody
are
sings
too.
It.
Oh,
I'm not gonna lie.
No, but at the time, man, like I said, I was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was like, man, this is great. Me and my brother just getting in the game. And then you realize how long that jingle has ran. The I'm loving it. You realize that. And then, boom, later on down the line, I did a record with Skrillex.
Mm-hmm.
And Arby's used a piece of that record.
Mm-hmm.
I own 40% of that record. So I had just been in business with Arby's, like every few months getting checks for the commercial. That was like their theme music right before it'd be like, we got the meats. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. So thinking about the money from that and the money that I took a one payout on when I was 20, I was like, damn, this is crazy.
How much did they pay you back then to do that McDonald's jingle?
Somewhere between $500,000 for okay. me and my brother. So shout out Steve Style. He brought, hey, Steve, I'm not ungrateful.
Man, at 20, that's amazing.
Yeah. He got you that deal.
Yeah, he got me that deal. Yeah, for sure. Shout out Steve Stout.
And they probably didn't know it was going to be used for no, so
probably
long.
Probably not, goodness but it was.
Yeah, gracious.
Yeah,
but
that yeah. was.
Millions yeah. yearly. You know how much you hear it? Goodness gracious.
So then Arby's, knowing the history of that, I do like discussions and panels and stuff, and people always ask me like, damn, well, like, what is some of your regrets? And I tell them like, man, I took a payout
mm-hmm.
for something from McDonald's years ago at 20. And I think Arby's caught wind of that, and they were like, man, we got this big fish that we about to drop. And I know, you know, this is now we already in business together. They put together the whole play for me.
That
and
is really like a beef. That's really them tapping in.
Tapping into the culture. Being dope. Like, yo. And they was, you know, they just felt like it was, the whole thing was just synonymous with what I had going on too at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like.
That's perfect.
Yeah, they was like, yo, this is.
Who was the executive there that even,
listen,
I'm curious who's.
Listen, I didn't meet him, but I'm hearing he's like looked at as a genius. It was something that he had to fight for. They like nixed the idea first. And right. then he like went back like, listen, y'all not understanding. I'm telling you.
I know they love it. I hope they gave him a promotion.
Absolutely.
Because I'm telling
so,
you,
man.
That's why it's so important who's in these positions
right.
at these corporations
right.
that can make these decisions. Because a lot of times people try to be part of the culture, but they right. don't do it right.
Right.
And the way that they did that was like, okay,
it
very
was
clever.
Seamless. It was mm-hmm. seamless. It was clever. It was synonymous with like just all brands involved. It just made sense.
Now, I remember yeah. at one point you had invested in a streaming service too. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that, what's going on with that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this one is playing
some
out.
Investments do
yeah,
well.
Some investments do well. They turn around, but other ones, you know, we have to wait and see.
Okay.
We have to wait and see.
What about other investments that you've done that have worked out that you...
I also got a business that I actually really love, man. It's medical transportation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, like, we got, like, through the Hampton Roads area, it's, like, 20, 30 vans that just run, you know, elderly and mm-hmm. older people and people with, like, illnesses around the city. And it's been really lucrative and, like, fulfilling, actually.
Yeah, that's the yeah. best thing when you can do something
yeah,
that you can
it's
make
like,
money
it's
from
really,
people.
It's really dope. It's
funny you said that. I'm doing something like that now because, you know, my wife's mother had dementia
mm-hmm.
and we would have to take care of her.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that the city and the state actually pays family members mm-hmm. to take care of her mm-hmm. instead of, you know, getting outside help.
Right.
They'll pay you because they say you do it anyway and they'll give you money for it. So you can get a salary from helping your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather.
Wow.
So we starting a business like that where we're helping people get that money, that salary to help their loved ones.
Yeah. You know, before my mom passed, it was like nurses. She had nurses. My sister's paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like, my mom got a nurse taking care of my sister. She got a nurse. You know what I'm saying?
How did your sister get paralyzed?
Like a stroke. Mm. Something. It's not even a stroke. It was something in the brain with the blood vessels expanding or
like an aneurysm.
But it wasn't.
Okay.
It's a proper term, but mm-hmm. all of those terms are very close.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's been a lot, but everything seems to be working itself out and playing out in a really, really good, really good way.
That's what it is. Well, Pusha, the album is out right now. It's yes. almost dry. I gotta thank Pusha too. You know, a lot of you don't know that me and Pusha, we knew each other from when I was in college, and
yes,
and he used to come with me all the time to all the clubs, make sure I was safe. And
did you see any of the crazy things he used to do? Because I read his book.
He was there, Pusha. Yeah. You don't understand. When it was one time I was DJing, and they was throwing chairs and tables at me and Pusha.
Was it because of envy?
No,
be.
Probably because of us, and we hid behind him.
Yeah.
But when I
did my first car show, I called Pusha, and I was like, I'm doing my car show, and he was like, come get my, he had his Ferrari. He was like, come get the Ferrari, and I came and got the Ferrari, and then when I delivered it,
We dropped it by accident. We cracked it a little bit.
Did you?
No, then they had to go fix it.
Wait a minute.
In front of it?
They probably did. I don't know.
In front of it. But you know, he wasn't mad about that.
It's just a car.
Did you call Envy when you heard all the news about like his book and how his wife couldn't orgasm just to reassure him?
No.
Now I gotta explain it.
No, so bro, this, come on. This, I can't. I don't. Just don't.
All right, you're right.
Don't.
Push the tea.
Thank you.
The album is out.
Jesus.
Yo,
you is wild.
What's wrong? You want to get into Push?
We gotta get into. We in New York City. We gotta get into Neck and Wrist.
Neck and Wrist featuring Hov.
Yes.
Get the album today. Stream it. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's almost dry.
Shout out to Pusha T. Make sure you pick up his album. You stream his album, man. Shout out to that boy Push. What up, 757? Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Magic Johnson.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club. So listen up.
All right, well, Magic Johnson was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, and he spoke about his new docuseries, They Call Me Magic. And then he also talked about returning to the NBA in early 1996 after nearly 5 years away due to his HIV diagnosis. And he discusses his second game back where they played the Chicago Bulls, and he talked about advice that Michael Jordan gave him.
And then you come back. In 1996, I think it was. And what do Rodman and Jordan do in that game?
Oh, man. You know, they really showed me the difference between a championship team and a playoff team. And they played me so hard. They were physical. They pushed me around. Michael, after the game, he pulled me aside. I don't think I've ever told anybody this. And he said, Irvin, you have to remember now, you're not with Kareem. You're not with James Worthy. All the guys you used to play with Showtime are not on that Laker team anymore. So remember, maybe you should think about retiring.
What a sick person.
He did, though. He took his advice. He took his advice, if I remember correctly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
In addition, he talked about being Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's rookie. And here's what it was like for him at that time.
Yes, I was Kareem's rookie. We flew commercial. So every time we went to an airport, he said, I want 2 hot dogs and you better make sure they're beef because I don't eat pork. Okay. So I'm going up asking the concession guy, are there beef? And he says, no, they're pork. So I said, oh, shoot, I got to go back and tell him he can't have hot dogs. Right. So I did everything for Kareem and I loved every minute of it.
Did you?
But yeah. What I was mad at, Jimmy, was this.
What?
Every time I bought him those hot dogs, when they did have beef, he didn't pay me. He didn't pay me back. I was only a rookie on a rookie salary.
It's called paying dues. I respect
if
it.
If that was the case now,
what'd you say?
He got sued. If that was the case now, he'd have been sued. Kareem would have been kicked off the team. They'd get hazing, all types of things. But we've all been through that.
We've all had to do that at some point. And you always got to remember, if you're not willing to be a soldier, then you don't have what it takes to be a general.
It kind of reminds you of The Pursuit of Happyness. Remember when he was going to interning, but they didn't know his circumstances, and he would buy lunch, but he didn't even have enough money to be able to support himself. But sometimes people don't know what your financial circumstances are, and they don't.
I had to get breakfast for Miss Jones before when she asked. Go get breakfast. I had to do that before. I'm sure Charlamagne had to do some stuff for Wendy.
Shut up. Yes.
Sometimes people with money don't realize that you just wow.
I wasn't even. I was talking about breakfast. I wasn't talking about nothing. That was you.
This guy here is so crazy. Why? Why?
I'm not talking about the picture with you sitting on her lap. I'm just talking about breakfast. Goodness. All right.
All right. Now the Kardashians, their show on Hulu. The latest episode centers around Kim Kardashian hosting SNL and how she started working with Michelle Wolf for her monologue. She said Dave Chappelle suggested that she work with Michelle Wolf to help her write. And here's what she said are some of the jokes that maybe didn't make the cut.
Like most of the things that I wear, it's really hard to pee. It's like a whole ordeal. Let's put it this way. If R. Kelly dressed like me,
oh my God,
he may have stayed out of trouble.
Oh my God. It's too long. It's a long way to go.
Okay. Oh, Chloe, you have the biggest heart. It's so big. It has room for Tristan and all of his side pieces.
Oh, shit.
And Chris, you're not one of my sisters. That's not a joke. I just thought I'd remind you.
No.
Okay. The one thing I thought I had and was so confident in is my monologue. So I'm a little confused now.
I am not obsessed with that.
Okay,
but let's keep going, yeah.
I like it. Michelle Wolf smoked that monologue, man. Dropping the clues bombs for Michelle Wolf. They should have left that Tristan joke, though. That Tristan joke should have stayed in the monologue.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, and she also felt like the topic of divorce was a sensitive one, and she already included a joke about it in her monologue. So she said, you know, she didn't want to overdo it, I guess. All right, now Blac Chyna took the stand yesterday again, and she was talking about Rob Kardashian leaking her nudes. And so they asked her why she appeared on Good Morning America just a day after she filed revenge porn restraining order against him. And she said, it was the only way I could stop him from posting pictures of me on the internet. I was already public. I'm supposed to just not say anything and take it. I wanted everyone to hear my side of the story. He posted nudes of my entire body. And so that was her explanation that she took the stand yesterday. They said she did break down crying during that. Now, they also said she was questioned about her finances by the Kardashians' defense lawyer. And she admitted that she hadn't filed her taxes since 2018 or 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
So why?
That's not good. She said the last time she personally filed was back in 2015, and she doesn't have any personal bank accounts. She said she made about $2 million in 2020, 2019, and 2018, and makes money through celebrity appearances. And she said she posts bikini and feet pics only on OnlyFans. And she did admit to posting some nudity on there as well, though.
Who is Blac Chyna's lawyer? Did they prep her at all?
Yeah, like I wouldn't have said that one. I wouldn't have said, nah. I mean, even though they could have documented.
Well, you can't
it,
lie when they cross examine you and ask you. You can't really lie.
I'd have pled the fifth. Can you plead the fifth for that one?
Yeah, because I don't see what that has to do with anything. Like, what does that have to do with the case at hand? What do my finances have to do with the case at hand?
Goodness gracious.
Well, maybe they're trying to say that she's just trying to get some money because it is a civil case and that she's financially strapped. Who knows? But
she got more problems
than a reason.
Where is Davis McClain when you need him? Where is Davis? She needs Davis McClain, man.
Now, Rob Kardashian has not been in court, and he has no problem appearing in court if he's called as a witness. But until that happens, he's at home with their daughter, Dream. He is the main caretaker. He's got her 6 days out of the week, so he wants to make sure that he's around her during this family drama. All right. Now, Kris Jenner, in the meantime, gave some testimony yesterday. She says that Blac Chyna once threatened to kill Kylie Jenner. She said she was alarmed years ago when Kylie and then boyfriend Tiger told her about the alleged threat. She said, of course, it was alarming, but we just kept it in the family. And she said on multiple occasions, Blac Chyna allegedly tried to physically harm Tiger with a knife. And she told the jury they did not report that alleged incident to the police. She said they lived across the street and she had a young child. I think we were more concerned about the Tiger situation. So there's a lot going on right here in court. But
what happens if the Kardashians win this case? What do they get? What, they gonna get their lawyer fees probably paid for, and then what else?
Yeah, I don't know. I know she sued them, and then they also filed a lawsuit against her. So this one, I think, is just her lawsuit. Mm. So then maybe they would have to go to court for that. All right, well, that is your rumor reports.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Man, 4 after the hour, we need to talk about this arrogant digital D-head who has been identified as George. That is the person who Mike Tyson tried to help sleep on the plane Wednesday night.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen, so I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
An iHeartRadio station.
Charlamagne, say the game. Don't get out of shape, man.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, it's a Breakfast Club, bitch.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Friday, April 22nd goes to an arrogant digital D-head who has been identified as George. They haven't released his last name yet. And his donkey today couldn't be more fitting because today is the 6-year anniversary of Birdman coming to the Breakfast Club and demanding that we put some respect on his name.
Put some respect on my name.
I have told y'all many times on this radio that 2022 for the rest of eternity is all about boundaries. And if you have never read or listened to the best-selling book, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, A Guide to Reclaiming Yourself by Nedra Tawab, please do yourself the biggest favor and consume this literary art, because I promise you it will give you the language that you need and deserve in order to set boundaries. Because this era that we in, this time in our lives that we are currently experiencing, if you don't set boundaries, you won't have any peace, okay? Because everyone is the star of their own production. All right, listen to what I said. Everyone is the star of their own production. Therefore, they look at everything and everybody, every situation as props and scenes in their low-budget films. Okay, everybody is seeking that viral validation, and being that the bar for what's considered entertainment is in hell right now, and being that everyone has followers on all these various platforms, everybody, and I mean everybody, thinks they have an audience that wants to hear from them, and they want to entertain their audience by any means necessary. Twitter asks what's happening, Facebook asks what's on your mind, and people like George can't wait to answer. So on Wednesday night, on a 10:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time flight, the red eye, Mike was flying out of San Francisco International Airport to Florida, and he ran into a digital D-head named George, who decided to use Mike as a prop for his social media content. Let's go to NBC News for the report, please.
A fight aboard a JetBlue flight in San Francisco Wednesday. The video obtained by TMZ Sports shows the man throwing the punches is former heavyweight champ Mike Tyson. JetBlue declined to comment, but a statement from Mike Tyson's representative says, unfortunately, Mr. Tyson had an incident on a flight with an aggressive passenger who began harassing him and threw a water bottle at him while he was in his seat. Both Tyson and the passenger, seen with a bloodied forehead, were detained. But San Francisco police say the man provided minimal details of the incident and refused to cooperate further. NBC News has not been able to identify him for comment.
I don't know about y'all, but all I saw was Mike Tyson helping a man get some sleep. Okay, it was a red-eye flight. George clearly needed some rest, but for some reason he was having a little trouble dozing off, and Mike tried to help him sleep. Okay, Mike Tyson has done a lot of mental and emotional work on himself. That brother is healing. He understands better than most that healing is a process. He's a cancer like myself, so regardless of what his reputation may be, to some, okay, by nature, cancers are loving, kind, and nurturing. So I don't like people saying Mike Tyson lost his cool in this situation, because he didn't. All right. Those punches came from a pure place, a place of you will respect me and you will respect my boundaries. Okay. This man, George, did not do that. All right. If you saw the video, then you saw him sitting behind Mike, and he was standing up doing a whole performance behind Mike's head while Mike, while this guy, George's friend, narrated. Okay, and reps for Mike said he even threw a bottle at Mike Tyson. Let's listen to that part.
This George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson.
My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy. This
he should have never gave you his money.
JetBlue, net flight. My boy just got beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way. Yeah, he got f***ed up.
How about tell your friend sit his stupid ass down? How about tell your friend respect that man's boundaries? Okay, George, those are not your friends, all right? Humans need to learn to leave people the hell alone. Okay, I told you 2022 is all about setting boundaries, and you digital D-heads who always want to do it for the gram, you want to do it for Facebook, you want something to post on your Snapchats and TikToks, okay? Y'all have absolutely no respect for anyone's boundaries, all right? You run up on folks with your phones out already recording. You ask for pictures while you are already taking the picture, because you really don't care about what the answer will be, because you've already decided you're getting the picture. You are not respecting the humanity in people, okay? You look at everyone as simply props for your videos, and Mike Tyson decided on this day that he would not be a victim to your desire to go viral. And what's sad about this situation, George still went viral, and he probably loves the attention. Dude was still pouting and performing with blood leaking out his head for the cameras after Mike Tyson attempted to help him get some rest. Okay, let me tell you something, man. I highly doubt, okay, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary. I'm not the strongest Avenger, so I don't know, but I highly doubt there is social media in the afterlife. Okay, I just want you to understand that, because dying seeking viral validation simply isn't worth it. And I know for a fact that you think those people who follow you on various social media platforms are riding for you, but let me assure you, they are not. Okay, George, if Mike Tyson would have decided to really hurt you, even at the young old age of 55, he could have really hurt you. Okay, you saw the blood coming from your head. It could have been much worse. And regardless of how much you think your followers love you, they don't. And you will realize that when you put up a GoFundMe for your hospital bills and nobody replies. Okay, you won't get one single solitary donation. It's just going to be you, your injuries, and your hospital bill. That's it. All because you want to entertain people who don't give a damn about you. Please let Remy Ma give George, who got the paws put on him by Mike Tyson on a JetBlue flight, the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
And God bless the good brother Mike Tyson. Mike, I pray that you don't feel like this was a setback in your healing process, because it wasn't. Okay, the other day I posted on Instagram, maturing is when you know you can beat somebody's ass but don't. Well, what happens if you do? Does it make you less mature? No, it just makes you human. And being human is having the emotional intelligence to know that when they go low, you don't have to take it to the floor with them, but you don't have to go high either. Sorry, First Lady Michelle Obama. You can go medium. That's what Mike did. He went medium. And I think medium was appropriate in this situation.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Medium rare. Just a little pink, a little blood, just a little, right?
Just a little fixing.
I don't care how drunk I am. I'm not trying to fight Mike Tyson or harass him anywhere.
Just medium rare is fine in this situation. Just a little blood. Just a little pink. Just a little.
That's I'm all. Not mad at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, actress and comedian Yamanika Saunders will be joining us. She's going to be at Caroline's this weekend. She's performing a couple of shows, and we're going to talk to her next. So don't move. It's the Breakfast
Club. She's hilarious.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Hey.
She's performing at Caroline's all weekend long. Yamanika Sanders.
Yes.
Saunders.
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 Yeah.
Welcome.
Well, just Yamanika. It's enough to process.
Yeah, Yamanika is Yamanika. Special.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm
Have
glad
you ever
to be back.
Met another Yamanika?
No. I think there might be a few floating around, but, you know, no, I haven't, I don't look forward to it.
Was it difficult with the name? Did you like your name growing up? Because my name is Rashawn, R-A-A, capital S-H-A-U-N.
Yes.
It never fit on the Scantron when I had to take tests.
Right.
And everybody always had a hard time spelling it and saying it. So did it ever bother you as a kid?
Well, I went to all white school, so I didn't really learn my name until I was in, like, third grade. You know, white people ain't got time for that.
So what they call you, Yama?
Well, my nickname is Nikki, which people also got wrong because they say Nikki.
Right.
It's not Nikki, it's Nikki. But I was spelling Nikki until I was about, I don't know, 7, 8. And then Yamanika came around. I had to put it together myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the Hulu show, Life and Beth.
Yes. I'm so excited about that show.
And it got picked up for season two also.
Yes, right? It got picked up for season two. I was really excited about the show, looking back at the show. You could also tell I was taping it during the pandemic, you know, because I was like super big, bigger.
But not, you've been working out nonstop.
I've been working out.
Way,
I've been boxing,
say.
So I'm a different big now, right? I'm a fighter big, but then you know it just I had like the anti body dysmorphia where I thought I looked good, and then I went and looked at. I was like, oh, girl, you missing a lot of steps, and it was happening during the pandemic. So between every scene, I was like washing my hands because we were going crazy with that. So my hands look super dark. Child, season two, I gotta come with it.
Okay, yeah. Yes, you've been working out nonstop, and I have to say, you were one person who during the pandemic was not playing about the mask.
I was wearing everything, shower curtains, quilts. I wasn't playing. Listen, in the beginning they said it was killing fat people, old people, black people. I'm all three of them things.
Shut
you
up.
Understand? So I'm not going COVID just sitting there in the background looking at me like I know that bitch about to fuck up.
So how are you dealing with it now? Because now they're saying you don't have to wear masks on plane.
That's what they saying. I still require masks.
Right.
I don't want nobody sitting next to me without no mask on.
Yeah.
Well, you can't tell them that. You can be like, hey, no, you can't sit there without a mask.
I'm also in first class, so I'm trying, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. Talking, Yamanika.
You know, in first class next to you sometimes.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, you can always just the distance. You know, I think an economy, and first of all, I just want everybody to know I'm not disrespecting the economy. I'm a big bitch, so I cannot be in the economy seat because every time I try to sit in the economy, I got to take my pussy out and put it overhead. So, you know what I mean? Like, I got to sit with the room in the first class. One time I left my pussy on the plane, I had to go get it from Chicago. Now, I don't like in terms of people thinking that the pandemic is over, it's not over.
Right.
It's not. And so I think people just think because, you know, their family ain't dying as much that it's over. People are still dying. It's still a very serious thing. And I'm taking precautions because I value my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest thing I didn't understand when people were going back and forth about, oh, COVID's not real. It's not a lie. I mean, at the very least, don't you want to protect your life if it is real? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To take the precautions. So, yeah, I like to be around people who are still aware that this is a thing and wearing their masks when they can.
How difficult was it to go back to stand-up because of COVID and seeing people? And now, you know, people want to touch you. They want to talk to you. And
yeah.
People have longer conversations, it seemed, during COVID.
Yeah, super long conversations. Listen, this is not going to be a popular opinion.
Uh-oh.
Or a fact. It's actually a fact. Doing stand-up was, like, almost guaranteed you was going to get COVID. It was, like, almost guaranteed because you sharing a mic. I can't tell you how many times some comic was like, oops, I found out I had COVID. You shared the mic behind me. And I have to take a test. You know, so we started switching out mics, but people just get very lazy. You want to get on stage. You don't want to be switching out mics. You don't want to do that whole technical difficulty. You just want to get on stage. So it was like, you know, and then comics are like partying and touching people and in people's face. And already, you know, male comics out here, they having sex with anything that'll have sex with them. So, you know, you got comic cold, STDs, bad jokes. You know, you just dodging it all.
So when do you remember when you first hit the stage during the pandemic, like after, you know, quarantining the way that you did? You remember your first time getting back on stage?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, because I didn't do the Zoom shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried to stop it with that because doing Zoom and then having everybody's mics on and people at the microwave while you trying to do set, it, you know, so I did not speak to anybody in terms of stand up for maybe like 7 or 8 months. So the first time it was a little weird. I mean, people don't appreciate the fact that there is a craft and an art to stand up, right? Mm-hmm. And there's timing involved. There's audience, you know, understanding the audience, listening, you know, just those things you have to get in the rhythm of again. And it probably took me like a couple weeks just to feel comfortable again. And then also we had the pressure of knowing that people didn't want to laugh about everything.
Right.
You know, everything was so sensitive. What was funny during this time when people were dying? What is funny about, you know, do we talk about COVID? Do we not talk about COVID? People being overly talking about COVID in a very generalized way. And then, you know, people trying to hit the hot spot of COVID, but then also you know, hurting people's feelings who lost people from COVID. So it was a difficult time, but we made it through.
How did you work it out? Because a lot of comedians I know, they go to smaller comedy clubs to work out their material, but with the pandemic, everything was closed. So how did you work out materials? How did you know something was going to hit?
I never really worry about if anything's going to hit. In terms of my, I just say it. Because, you know, I generally, my comedy is what I think, right? And it's always, the laughter always allows me to know that people think like me, right? So it's just whatever, you know, I'm saying. I mean, there was a lot of strain away from COVID. I just talked about all the fears that I had of it. You know, I know the big thing, especially in the Black and Brown community, was, is this a conspiracy? You know, are white people trying to kill us? Tuskegee and all, you know, people became all these philosophers and historians about, you know, what was happening. It's like, you didn't know about Tuskegee before all this happened. Now you went on Instagram, you saw something with Dr. Sebi in the background, and now all of a sudden you know about Tuskegee. You didn't understand what was happening there. So you had all these different spaces that were bringing information, misinformation, and people arguing. I felt like attacked. Because it's like, well, I definitely want to get the vaccine because I want to protect myself.
And people get so mad.
They get super mad, or it's like, you're buying into the system, or you don't have a mind for yourself, and things like that. So I would talk a lot about, listen, I don't want to take the vaccine. I'm nervous just like you, but I also value my life, you know, and I lost people, you know, to COVID. So it's like, yeah, I do think I probably will turn into a dancing gremlin, you know, they can't go to the microwave after midnight. But also, is it going to protect me? You know, one of my closest friends, God bless her, Erica Watson, passed from COVID. And very talented, beautiful comedian. I mean, just a superstar. And when you have somebody like that in your life that you think will never die, and then they're gone, it just makes you appreciate life differently. And it just makes you go, listen, my ego is not that big to think that I can just handle this pandemic that's affecting the world on my own and make these decisions and just be like, whatever, fuck it, I got it. I didn't have the ego for that.
All right, we have more with Yamanika Saunders. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Yamanika Saunders. Now, what were your thoughts on the T.I. situation and T.I. being a comedian?
Ooh, I've been waiting for this question. Well,
she stood up.
Here's the thing. I was blessed to encounter T.I. When I taped a couple of episodes for Hip Hop Squares. Mm-hmm. And he was a lovely gentleman, you know. So I can only speak from how he presented himself as a nice person. When it comes to stand up, and this is again what everybody think they can do it, is not only does it look easy, because the goodness of a good comic is that they make it look easy, right? Is that sometimes you can get in the right pockets in the right community, and then these cats are also gassing you up. And I think in T.I.'s situation, because he is funny, right? I think sometimes, and again, it's people thinking they can just do anything and not go through the steps. I think also his environment probably is like, yeah, but come on, man, you get yourself, you blah, 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 blah. And then you're not setting him up for, let's talk structure. Let's talk about, maybe we don't just put you out in these big venues because you're the, you know, king of the South and rap, because those are your rap fans. Mm-hmm. Now we have to get you to get them to understand you as a comic, but we also have to get you to develop your persona, develop the material, get the understanding of the subjects that you want to talk about. And then when you've honed that and you've worked out these bits and you've sort of crafted a set, then let's go out and put you at the Barclay. Like, it's so many that fail him. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. And I love Tia. So many fail. Why would you put him there and subject him to people that are already kind of like, yo, bro, what? You know what I mean? And then you put him around other comics. Sometimes the people in our own crew so busy gassing us or not telling us the honest to God truth that we put ourselves in situations where he should not have been in no boo situation like that. His boy should have been like, yo, let's not do that this year. Let's do a few other things. Let's really tighten up this set. Let's get it going. Because that's what all the comics are doing. I after doing comedy for 20-some years and still hustling, trying to get people to know me and know who I am, I have perfected what I do because I've been in the trenches so hard. I didn't nobody scoop me up when I started doing stand-up when I was 16 years old. I'm in my 40s. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody scooped me up. So I have time to work, write, and develop. I write for television shows. I work on different ways and jokes and stuff like that. So at this point, there's a recovery for me that I understand about the stage. As a new comic, I don't care how many times you've successfully done a set.
Right.
There is a time where that crowd is not going to be on your side, and you got to figure out how you're going to get into them and what you're going to say and what you're going to do. It is a dance that has to happen, and that's stuff that you learn over time. And I think both sides are having a problem because the way that people have been approaching T.I., and he is a rapper, and he gets respect because we all know him and we love him, he don't want nobody telling him what he can and cannot do. So then there's also that, right? Like, as a comment, anybody giving you constructive criticism may be taken as like, yo, don't disrespect me, man. Don't tell me what I can. I do what I want. You know what I'm saying? Instead of somebody coming to him and just being like, bro, on the side, let me just say, these not going to tell you this. I think we should work and do X, Y, and Z. And also, let me help you. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's my opinion on it.
Well, I'm excited for you this weekend. You're going to be at Caroline's.
Yes, I'm going to be at Caroline's.
Saturday, Sunday, 7 p.m. show, 9:45 p.m. show. And I'm excited for you. We'll sell those shows out immediately. And congratulations and good luck with everything.
How much are you lifting? I saw you. What are those called? Deadlifts?
I think she said 75 plus 25. She said 75 plus 25. So
I got to come work out with you. I haven't worked out
in
so long.
I want you to do, and we're going to film it.
You know, me and you box one time. We used to go boxing.
Not one time. We went a few times.
Who won?
No, we didn't box each other. Yeah, like, we just went through the whole training classes of boxing. We did it for a little bit, and then we just said F all that.
Well, yeah. I'm extending an invitation for you guys to come and train with me.
She said we're going to film it. She want to...
You know me. Let's put everything on film.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
I'll come through.
Okay. You know, perfect. 75 Absolutely. Plus 25 deadlifts, though. I'm tell you that right now.
Yeah, you'll do it.
Yamanika
you know,
Saunders.
I got to practice first.
It's the Breakfast Club. Check her out at Caroline's the 22nd and 23rd, 7 p.m. and 9:45 p.m. She has two shows each night. Go get your tickets now, and it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk new music.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, as you know and heard all morning, Pusha T's It's Almost Dry is out today. All right, and then in case you guys didn't hear this, right, Cardi B had put up a post about just basically the song that she did, Shake It, the drill song, how it activated demons that she locked away. Here she is talking about it in her voice note.
I've been having these weird feelings lately, and that's kind of why I didn't want to do this song, Shake It, or like any drill songs, because it's like these songs are activating like these demons that I killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that girl anymore. I just want to be a mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I left that lifestyle a long time ago, bro. Like, and she's coming back. I feel like getting a cane. If you know about the canes, then you know. I don't want to be that anymore. I want to be a good person. I don't want to.
Well, she did delete that, and some people were concerned, but she posted, Barty gang, I'm going to just joke around with y'all on my centerfold account, because a lot of people hit me up about the voice note thinking I was serious. The point of the voice note was that the song bring out the gangster energy out of me. Maybe I acted too good. I don't know. So don't be concerned. She was just playing around.
I need this planet to stop rotating and let some of y'all off. Okay, if you don't understand sarcasm, if you don't understand when people attempting to be funny, like, what? Like, come on, man. What world are we in, yo? There's nobody that could have listened to that and really thought Cardi was serious. We knew what she was doing.
People did. A lot of people did.
Come on, man. Y'all have never listened to gangster music and said to yourself, dang, this is taking me someplace I don't want to go. Every time I listen to D-Block, I want to stab somebody with something sharp. Like, what are we talking about?
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you.
I think
you,
when I listen to Pooh Shiesty and ESTG and 42 Doug, I don't think about doing heinous things. But I'm just thinking. When I'm listening to the new Pusha T Almost Dry and I'm, you know, stirring something in the kitchen, you don't think I act like I'm cooking cocaine? We're pretending.
Right, Saucy Santana.
What?
Shout to Saucy Santana. When I was in Atlanta, I seen Saucy Santana at one of the clubs I was, and Saucy Santana was performing, boy. So shout
I
to
love Saucy Santana.
Okay. What does Saucy Santana make you feel like, E?
I was doing that for you when you listen to that. You know how you feel, like the music you listening to?
No, not that. I think that was you. I think that was all for you. It had nothing to do with me.
Material,
awkward,
girl.
Awkward. All right. Well, thank you for the Rumor Report. Now, when we come back, we got my People's Choice Mix. Don't move. Get your request in. 800-585-1051. And don't forget, June 19th, my car show goes down in Texas. We're going to be announcing some more dates, too. So it's Father's Day weekend. Get your tickets, and we're going to have fun. It's family fun. Rides for the kids, carnival games, and a whole bunch more, all right? Mix is up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen, so I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. This weekend, I want to shout out to everybody. I'm going to be in L.A. At the L.A. Book Festival. They're doing, let me see where it is. Let me pull it up. Yeah, we are. Yeah, the L.A. Book Festival. It's called the Festival of Books. Los Angeles Times puts it on. It's April 23rd and 24th. We're going to be there Saturday, I believe, at 1 p.m. So join me. It's at the University of Southern California. And I just want to say shout out to everybody that purchased our book, whether it was the hardcover, a Kindle, or Audible. We really appreciate it. We've been seeing all the feedback. The numbers have been amazing on Amazon and wherever you buy books. So we just want to say we're grateful and thankful, and we're glad that we're able to start some of those conversations and relationships. So if you haven't purchased the book yet, definitely pick it up and leave reviews, because we'd love to see what you guys think about the book. So go to Amazon, wherever you bought your book, and leave a review on the book, whether you love it, whether you hate it, whatever your opinions are, leave reviews on the book. And again, thank you.
It's amazing. Took you, you know, you had to go through all of those different experiences to have all those different chapters of the book. And the other thing that a book does, man, it really helps you appreciate every little thing that has happened to you in your life. Because all of those things that you think don't matter are absolutely just chapters and subchapters of this, you know, great book that you're writing
it called makes you Life. Think. Let me ask you a question, right? When you think about all the things that you do, right, and then to where you are now, do you say, damn, I wish I didn't go through it? Or do you say, damn, I'm glad I went through it to make me who I am today?
Oh, no, it's all part of God's plan. Every single thing. Every so-called, that's why I don't believe in good or bad. I just believe everything is part of one long process. I believe there's so-called good and so-called bad. It's just all about your perspective. It's all subjective, but really it's just all part of one long process that, you know, gets you to a certain point.
Okay. All right. Well, when we come back, we got the positive note. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Now you guys have
it's a Friday. Great weekend.
That's right.
Yes, have a great weekend. And I want to shout out to the American Foundation for the University of the West Indies. You know, I'm on the board for that great organization where we help send kids to college with their scholarship for the University of the West Indies. They had their gala yesterday. Beautiful event every single year to help raise money. It's $5,000 for the entire year just to go to the University of the West Indies. Some of the best and brightest students in the world. So shout out to them.
All right. Well, Charlamagne, you got a positive note. Now, is this positive note coming from the gentleman you met yesterday, or do you have another positive note?
Man, salute to that OG that I met yesterday, man, who walked up on me. He was with his family. He was with his beautiful wife and his daughter. I couldn't even get his name because I was laughing so hard. He said, man, Charlamagne, we was just listening to you, man. You and that guy better stop playing gay on that radio now, because you're going to run into somebody who ain't playing. So, you know, salute to him. Okay. And my positive note is not coming from him at all. It's coming from Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. I want y'all to remember that going into this weekend.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, Every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.